Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 85 for July 9th, 2019. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas. And so over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each. And I have put the list of top requests together, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. We're going to get through as many of those as we can today. We're broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on your favorite podcast app or directory. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and today I have arranged for Larry Gaines, Jim Kenny, Matt Buckley, and Anka Metcalf to join up, and Anka will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Yikes. Good afternoon, everyone. It has been an intense day in the market. Really nice pop into the close. So I want to welcome everyone, but not before thanking David for putting this show together for us. And we have an incredible lineup. And I want to get started with a quick intro. So Larry, if you could please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Okay, well, thanks a lot again for having me here today. And so I've been actively in the markets trading for over 30 years, ouch. And started my career back on the oil side back in the 80s, trading crude oil cargoes and things like that. Went on to run one really large oil trading company, trading desk for 10 years, just all the different commodities and things like that. So, and then started my own educational trading site, powercycletrading.com, back in about 2009, 2010. And currently teach traders how to trade using a directional trading model that I use and developed using options for, really defined risk and leverage. So powercycletrading.com. So come check us out.
Thank you. So sound check, just a quick sound check.
Sure.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
All right. Sorry. I thought I lost the mic. Larry, thank you so much. And I know you're going to be attending the Traders Expo in Chicago, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you there.
Well, actually I won't. I'll be at the Wealth 365, which is online event, but no, I'm not planning to go to Chicago. So you're going to be there, and I guess a lot of the other traders and educators will be there as well. So have a great, great time.
Oh, thank you. I think I saw your name on the list.
Yeah, I think maybe it's, you're doing Wealth 365. That's probably maybe on that list.
Oh, okay. All right. Okie dokie.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Larry. Jim, we're going to hop on to you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Right. I've been the content provider at Option Professor for many, many years, and I conducted seminars throughout the country live, and now I do them on webinars. And I have a weekly podcast that I produce that gives everyone my view on stocks, bonds, gold, and the dollar, and any other thing that I think might be relevant. And, basically, we invite everybody to tune in once a week and find out what I'm thinking about these things.
That's really awesome. Matt, how about you?
Hey, Anka, good to be working with you again. Anka and I partner on a lot of stuff down here in God's Waiting Room down in Boca Raton, Florida. My name's Matthew Buckley. You guys can call me Wiz going forward. I flew F-18 Hornets for the United States Navy for about 15 years and graduated from Top Gun, taught myself how to trade equity options. Hence the name Top Gun Options, and popped up on the radar of one of the largest options trading firms in the world. Was their managing director of strategy for a couple of years, then was the founder and CEO of the Options News Network. No offense to anybody in Chicago. You can have it 9 months out of the year with the weather. People are great. Food's great. But I'm a Navy and a beach guy. I moved down here about, 10 years ago, where we started Top Gun Options. And we run live trade briefs. Just got out of one a little while ago. Hopefully, we'll talk about some volatility somewhere in here as well. But good looking stuff. We have a good looking list of symbols to get through, and I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Matt. And of course, yours truly. My name is Anka Metcalf. I'm the CEO and founder of TradeLO.com, which is a trading education company that is focused on educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade the futures and the equities markets. I've been doing this for 16 years professionally. And prior to becoming a professional independent trader, I come from the investment banking background, where I spent more than 10 years. I'm also the designer of an institutional proprietary trading system that is based on price support resistance, specific trigger times throughout the day, so you don't waste your time or your money getting into trades at the wrong time or the wrong place. specific price zones and also chart synchronicity and also divergency. We had an example of that in yesterday's trading session where Russell was divergent compared to all the other indices. I have also been featured into a lot of financial media outlets like Benzinga, contributor there, Stock and Commodities, Grains, Detroit Business. And I'm also going to be at the Traders Expo in Chicago July 20th through the 23rd. I'm looking forward. If you guys are in Chicago, please stop by. We have a booth there. More than happy to say hi and share my thoughts on market with you. All right. So now we have a really great list to talk about. You guys excited? Do you guys want to get started with the list first? Awesome. First on the list is Apple. Larry, what are your thoughts on Apple?
Well, one of my favorites. When we look at Apple, one thing, next week we have monthly option expiration. Okay, so there's a lot of good option activity at the 200 strike and the 205 up to 210. But so I think we're going to just stay here in this kind of sideways pattern here through expiration next week. And then the week after that, I believe, is earnings. So I think we're just going to, it looks fine. I think we're going to stay up at this upper end of the range, but I don't think it's going to do any major breakouts until earnings, because that'll be on the 29th, I believe. So I think we'll stay here. And I think that, we could trend up a little bit up here towards 210, but then also we could trend down and stay around 200. So just kind of into this range, 200 to 210, around that area. So, you could swing trade it up and down a little bit for the next week or so, or you can maybe do some butterflies, et cetera. So don't see a whole lot of explosive move until earnings, but I see it nice and stable sitting around that 618 retracement level. So it looks fine.
Thank you so much, Larry. How about you, Jim? Would you consider Apple a buy or a hold if you are still into Apple, or what are your thoughts?
I would be concerned with Apple only because it had a high up at 233, came back down, went all the way up to 215 or so, came back down, and now it's come back about 208. Now we're at 201. So there seems to be a little bit of running out of gas on it a little bit. Maybe it's because it's now a service company more than an iPhone producer, and obviously people are trying to figure out if the services revenue is going to be anywhere near what the iPhone thing was. But again, it isn't an uptrend on the technicals. The 50-day average is at 189. The 200 days at 187. So they're inverted to the upside, which is good. But again, we have earnings coming up here, and if they are not up to snuff, and we don't take out the 210, 215, then this thing could roll back over. Underneath 195, I'd be getting a warning flag, and of course, under 190, you'd get a full-on real concern on it. So right now, it would be a hold for me, possibly even consider selling some out-of-the-money calls as a hedge if the premiums were fat enough, and maybe taking those premiums and buying a put underneath so I could at least lock in some kind of value in case I'm surprised by earnings at the end of the month.
That is a great plan. Matt, how about you? What are your thoughts on Apple?
Apple, I'm kind of lukewarm. It's a little rottenish to me right now. I like what Jim and Larry said. You always have to take a look at the potential threats out there. And one of the threats, I think as Larry said, earnings at the end of the month. Apple's getting battered around early this week or last week, whenever it was. Apple got slapped with a big downgrade, and then JP Morgan comes out the other day with a big upgrade. So, here we go, battle of the upgrades and downgrades. I think the biggest risk out here, the biggest threat to Apple, I think, as Jim just alluded to, first of all, is innovation. I mean, until they, are we all going to be really motivated for the iPhone 92 or something like that? What's his name? Tim Cook is not Steve Jobs. He's more of a booger eater than Steve Jobs was a walk in the room, write something on a whiteboard that just was completely visionary and turned to him and said, hey, make this happen. The watch, TV, all sorts of stuff, not super lukewarm. I used to be very, very long-term bullish on Apple. Now there's other places to find some good alpha. I think the short-term risk for Apple literally is the China trade war. If we remember at the height of this trade war, China literally literally threatened to boot Apple out of the country. And I saw stories of Chinese folks actually hiding their iPhones, like not pulling your iPhones out in public because it's like anti-China to have like an Apple product. So a lot of potential risk in Apple. I think there's Alpha Otherwear. I like Jim's idea of maybe doing a collar. If you hold the shares, maybe selling an upside call and buying a downside put to kind of lock in some neutral strategy there. But Apple tends to channel going into earnings. So maybe an iron condor right around here. But hovering around this 50-day moving average, I'm lukewarm on it, to be honest with you.
I love your thoughts. And I couldn't agree more with every one of you. I think that Apple is into a lot of has a lot of mixed signals here with a downgrade, then an upgrade. Technically speaking, I still think that Apple has a little bit of potential for a rally going into tomorrow's trading session. And it is ready to trigger over this prior high, over yesterday's high, which was 201.4. And the more I see this rotation happen, I think that it may be ready for a gap fill into the 202 for a first target and actually take it into the 204 and 205. And these are baby steps going into earnings season and continuing with the rest of the week. So these are my thoughts. As long as, you know, Apple to me today was an incredible sign that we held the 20 SMA. We held pretty much the upper, I would say the core of the range, because I'm considering the range from the 195 level. So we're basically trading in the core of the range, and basically anything can happen at this point. I cannot ignore the fact that we're into a technical level and a buy off the 20 SMA. So to me, this is sort of like a textbook rotation to the upside and getting ready for a gap fill going into tomorrow's trading session. But again, there are a lot of things that are going on this week, and you know, with Federal Chair Powell testifying today, tomorrow, and on Thursday, we have the FOMC meeting minutes. And again, you know, like Matt said, you know, with the trade wars with China, I really don't know how to pan out this trade for a longer term. Again, we are going to have the option expiration, like Larry said, you know, there are a lot of things. So I would take it on a day by day basis with Apple. So short term version would be over yesterday's high with the possibility of a gap fill and going back into the 205 and trail tight going into that direction. All right, let's move on to our next name, and that is MGM. All right, and Larry, what are your thoughts on MGM? I see that casinos have a lot of relative strength lately and have had a lot of relative strength lately.
Yeah, so it looks fine. I mean, it's broken out to the upside. It's passed. You can see, well, let me put my charts up. If you look here, this is a daily chart right here, and you can see this is a major 200-day moving average. You got a cluster of all kinds of different moving averages here. So had a fantastic breakout above that $27 level. We had the next pop up, came into that 618. You can see that consolidated there, then the next leg up. So it looks fine. It's a buy to me on any pullback. Now, again, it's going to have earnings coming up here. You can see earnings will be here on about the July 25th timeframe. So it could just, again, as we wait for earnings, a lot of times, a lot of these stocks will trend a little bit into earnings. But the big move would probably be after the earnings are release. But if you just look here at a longer term chart, the weekly, you've got a 200 week moving average here. It's back above the 618. So if there were no earnings coming up to worry about, this looks good for continuation back up. And then, you know, back to that prior high of 30 and then up to that 31 or 32, which is a 1272 extension. So looks fine. Any pullback here to this level here would be a buying opportunity for support. But again, all bets are off because of earnings. So anyway, that's my take on MGM.
Thank you so much, Larry. Jim, what are your thoughts on MGM?
Yeah, I like the short-term action on the price because it's jumped above the 50 and the 200-day, and as long as it stays above that, those will get inverted and start moving higher. The caution flags I have on it, and the things that I'd prefer to buy it on a little bit more momentum, and the reason for that is this 30 number, ballpark figure, was the lows in 2017, and then in 2018, it had a big break when the 30 number broke, and then recently, it's been as high as about 30 in the first first quarter of this year. So this 30 number ballpark area is very important. And if we cannot get through it, obviously you're buying right against resistance, and I wouldn't suggest that. The other thing that's concerning is the volume's drying up. Today, the volume was 3.7 million shares. It's been averaging 7.5 million in the last 200-day moving average. So that's way off. And sometimes if it's running out of volume and if it's just short covering, because, you know, short interest is 4.6%. So there's a decent amount of people short. If this is just short covering and it's going to fail at 30, I want no part of it. But if the volume picked up and we broke above 30 and held, you know, I think it's a better buy above 30 than it is right now.
I totally agree with that. And I think that the 30 number, whole number, is a big deal because it represents, at this point, it represents resistance in it. Matt, what are your thoughts about MGM?
MGM was one of our sin stocks, we call it. We bailed out of it in our model portfolios about 8 months ago, kind of like Fredo and The Godfather, too. It's dead to me. I mean, at year return, we're down 7%. I mean, hell, even a company like Nike that I can't stand is up 7% year over year. So not a good looking chart. I'm going to go with my Apple trade war analogy. MG, I've been to Macau. Macau looks exactly like Las Vegas. I mean, literally, maybe that's why everybody stands around and takes pictures, because they go back and build the exact same thing. These casinos have a lot of Macau and China exposure. I would not put it past the Chinese to one day wake up and go, okay, there's a big close sign up front. There's a lot of uncertainty around this trade war, and MGM and the Macau exposed stocks really can get hammered. So we had a synthetic stock position all the way out to like January of 2021, because I believed in the sin stock and had a pretty good strong commit criteria why we got into it. And anytime my commit criteria, the main reason I'm committing capital into a trade, change, then we get out of it. So I haven't seen any different. Like I said, you'll hear me a couple times, there's other places to get some better alpha with less risk. But you know, you wake up one day and you know, it says closed outside some of these casinos. That sounds far-fetched, but it doesn't. I mean, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, nobody would have ever predicted we're in the middle of a full-blown trade war with China. And I was shocked real quick about the Larry Kudlow interview this morning on CNBC. He, first of all, he seemed like very blasé. He wasn't the market cheerleader he usually is. And he said, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and Ambassador Lighthizer might get back involved in the trade negotiations. And I about dumped my coffee on my lap. I'm like, wait, they're not involved right now? So a lot of uncertainty around trade. Macau is a big risk, and MGM's got a lot of Macau exposure. I'm a holder, sell on MGM.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. Here are my thoughts, guys, on it. So from the daily perspective, it has been consolidating really well into the 2860. So it has developed strong support, and it has been riding the 10 exponential moving average on the daily since the rotation happened on June 3rd. So it had a really nice pop. It had some really nice blast off days, very good volume, and then it just consolidated. And now it's consolidating actually into this resistance that we had into the 2860. So 2860 right now, resistance becomes support for price action. I like it for long term. The reason why I like this stock is because, technically speaking, I like the fact, and this is a quarterly chart, and there are stocks that I've kind of like to watch on a quarterly basis because of the progression, and especially longer term names that I'm looking at, and especially these, I call these baby stocks that are trading below $50. I really like to pinch into some of these trades and kind of hold them for a longer period of time. So to me, it looks very appealing. And this chart resembles a lot the chart of gold. The gold has been really sideways for a very long time, but still ever since putting a low a few years ago, it just gradually started to hover and made new highs on the really big major time frames. And that pushed the price higher in gold. And by the way, gold is just basing right now. I think it's getting ready to explode if the current support level is going to hold. But anyways, going back into the MGM, I cannot help myself but noting that this year in the first quarter, we actually actually had a quarterly buy, and this is very significant, and this is something that I watch for my longer term trades. So we had a quarterly buy that has triggered and has not violated the support level into the 2172. So I still see the potential for a continuation higher with a target into $30. And Larry did mention that $30 area as being resistance. I'm watching the same area for resistance, but I'm still one that doesn't mean that it prevents me from not initiating a trade or not carrying through the trade that I already have in MGM. So $30 is going to be a resistance area for it. If it moves beyond $30, there is a possibility for a continuation higher into a tradable void into the $36. So these are my thoughts on MGM, bullish on MGM, and I still think that it may have another pop higher at least into the $30 in stage one of trading. All right, let's continue with the next stock. The next stock is Key. Larry, what are your thoughts in Key?
Key is looking to like a breakout to the upside as well. So this has come from a pretty good sell-off from this specific stock. But if you look longer term, it looks like it's starting to, you know, kind of get a rounded bottom. We've got momentum shifting up. And you look at a weekly chart, you can just kind of see the pattern starting to shift back up. You can see the moving averages below here, and you can see this kind of a rounded bottom in here, holding on to the 200-week moving average, got above that, and look how long it consolidated. It was here kind of holding up from April all the way through, you know, had that dip below back up. Again, we've got earnings coming up, but, you know, taking out the looks of earnings, to me, this looks like potential for a continued move higher. And then it's just a matter of where to, and we could just figure that out using Fibonacci levels. So the next, you know, main level here, this is 100-week moving average. So up here to about $19, right around in there, it potentially could go. And then, you know, we'll see from there. But right now it looks stable to kind of starting to potentially trend back to the upside.
Thank you so much, Larry. Jim, what are your thoughts on KeyBank?
Yeah, the banking sector, basis the XLF, has tried to turn up here. The moving averages are under the market, and the market price is above the moving averages on the XLF. So the sector itself is trying to make a turn. You know, the cost of funds for the banks are still pretty low, and if they do make a cut and it stimulates loan demand or something, their profitability could pick up a little bit. I think that's what people are kind of betting on a little bit here. As far as this bank is concerned, you know, it looks good. The averages are right around 16.75 and 17 area. So as long as it stays above that, that would be okay. Another one where the volume today, 7.8 million, and on a 200-day basis, it's averaging 12 million. So I don't know what this drying up of volume is all about, but you know, it's not comforting to see the volume dry up if the market is trying to move higher. You'd like to see more participation. And again, the area, like Larry's mentioning, 1920, there's a ton of resistance that occurred in 2018 because those were the lows for a long time. And when it busted 1920 is really when it went into the soup under 15. So you'd imagine on the way back up, 19 or 20 could be a tough area. And if it clears there, it could be like the other one we talked about. Maybe it's a better buy at 21 on its way to 25 than it is here at 18 and maybe resistance at 19.
Thank you so much, Jim. Matt, what are your thoughts on KeyBank?
I'm negative with the financials. Jim brought up a good point about, hey, maybe if the Fed cuts interest rates, it'll spur loan demand. I think the economy's humming along pretty long here. I mean, this is a longer discussion over beer, about 50 of them. I think the Fed should be sitting on their hands or even raising interest rates at this point. But if Jerome's going to be cutting rates here, even the Blue Bloods, the Goldman Sachs, the JP Morgan's, Morgan Stanley's, they ain't going to be doing as good, and I'd be a complete seller of the regionals as well. We were long JP Morgan for a while there. If anything, I'd be short in the regional banks. I just don't, you know. And remember this, folks, if Jerome Powell is cutting interest rates, he's not, well, he most likely isn't doing it because the president's yelling at him. He's looking at data that are showing the economy potentially slowing down. So if the economy is slowing down, and I think the Wall Street Journal had an article the other day, 33% of the economists that they surveyed said there's a recession in the next 12 to 18 months on our future. I think the regionals are going to get hammered. I'm negative on Key for me or any of the financials.
Thank you so much, Matt. I couldn't agree more. I'm on the same page with you, especially as financials are concerned. But and even the technical level in Key, I see a lot of resistance into the 1850. And that we have the we have the 200 SMA on the monthly chart. We also have, and to me, these are like mixed signals, because on one side, the monthly chart is showing a slowdown in the momentum. So it has been having that Christmas light effect from red to green, red to green, red to green, popped a little bit higher here, just testing the waters. I think this is just a peekable high and definitely a challenging resistance into the 1850, into the $19. I cannot also ignore the fact that if we break above this $18, we may have some juice all the way to 1860, but I don't think it's worth the risk for this trade. And even the daily chart, very whippy. You would have to have like a soft stop if you're a swing trader, not doing options or anything. So you definitely have to have a soft stop and ride the wave with this one. I don't feel comfortable in financials holding them for even for swings at this point. There are some names that some other names that, you know, popped on my scanner that are a little bit stronger structured, like JP Morgan, Bank of America, et cetera. But with Key, I'm not going to get into. This is something that I'm going to pass. All right. Next stock on our list is ROKU. Larry.
Well, this one's had a fantastic run, and it's still, you know, very strong. It's one of, you know, it's to look at on a pullback. It's pretty extended here. I wouldn't be chasing it. So you can see here, if you pull up my charts, the weekly, you can see this moving averages are just straight up like a rocket ship, and they're getting extended. So, you know, it's had a great run, and on a pullback where it can pull back and maybe consolidate back here to this kind of prior high where it peaked out here and pull back 77, that area, you know, or even back here towards this kind of 90 level. But right here, I would not be chasing it on this up move. But overall, a very, very strong, powerful stock with great momentum to the upside. But it's one that you would want to look for any kind of, you know, retracement, kind of reversion to the mean before chasing it up here. But, you know, these type of momentum stocks, they can just keep rolling. And you've got that prior high. It wouldn't be surprising to see it hit that prior high, maybe take it out. But it's not one I'd be chasing up here. And it's going to have then earnings coming up early August. But, you know, it's been a powerful momentum-based stock. So it's one to buy on a pullback on a consolidation phase.
All right. Thank you so much. Matt, what are your thoughts?
I like the, well, here, let me share my screen here. He put it right through the bullseye. I mean, you live by the momentum, you die by the momentum. After a really solid earnings report last time, this thing has not looked back, which is a little bit dangerous. I'm not, I'm going to half punt on this because I'm not in the streaming space. I traded Netflix up until years ago when it was one of those, the stock shouldn't be doing that. It is doing that. So when a stock ends up doing something that I don't think it should be doing, I'm wrong, not the stock. So the Roku and this whole cloud, I got to be honest with you, with Disney, you know, essentially, no pun intended, being the Death Star and jumping into this pool, I think this is going to be an extremely volatile field. You know, the huge momentum play. So like I said, live by momentum, die by momentum. I think, like Larry said, what do we have? Earnings early August. I'd sit on my hands going into earnings on this thing and see if this, huge beat was one time or it's sustained. At the end of the day, when you turn on your TV, there's like going to be 20 icons now, from Roku to Netflix to HBO. You know, how, or Amazon, even how crowded does this space get? I think when Disney jumped into it, when Iger got interviewed, somebody asked him that, like, well, isn't this space really getting crowded? He said, well, and there's a lot of competition. He said, our only competition is sleep. So these people are trying to essentially take over your life. So I'm always looking for new opportunities. I'm looking into this space, but it's a crowded field right now. And I need to determine if there's going to be a couple winners or they're all going to be winners. I don't think that's mutually exclusive. They can all do well, or is there going to be a couple Death Stars at the end? So I'm going to sit on my hands and wait for earnings, Anka.
All right, Jim, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that if you got in there at 30 in January and it's up at 100, that's the good news. And the other thing that I'd be worried about now is the fact that it's 67% above its 200-day moving average, which is pretty rarefied air. The company appears to still be losing money, according to the board that I'm looking at. And I would be concerned about that $70 gain I had. So I'd probably do one of two things. I'd probably do a collar on it because these premiums are very fat. And then I'd at least be able to stabilize my equity at this higher area. Or I would blow out some stock and replace it with call options going out to the end of the year, and then basically take 70 bucks off the table and throw 10 back on it and say, have a good day. If you want to keep dancing, I'll listen to you. If you don't, you're only going to get 10 bucks out of me.
Thank you so much, Jim. All right. So in Roku, I actually have called Roku as a long on Monday over $98.44. So we are in this trade and we're rocking it. It's moving at the highs. I already have a trail stop, so I'm trailing it super tight right now. It still has the potential to run into the 105 and back into these highs right here into the 108s. But I've seen it more as the momentum. So, you know, like Matt said, you know, you could get killed by momentum. So momentum can work in your favor and can also kill you. So, as of right now, I'm not initiating anything. I think it's far too extended at this point. It has a lot of air underneath, and it can potentially pull back, but as long as it's still holding above the 100 price target area, that was one of my first targets initially, I think it has a really good potential for a continuation higher. And other than that, you know, with these stocks, I look at them technically, not look a lot into the narrative and not trying to overthink things. But it has a really nice bull flag off of the 10 exponential moving average here. Nice solid support into the 87. So I really think that the stock may continue to go higher, and it has a lot of projections to the upside into the 110, actually 110, 113 and plus. So there is still some juice in it, and as you know, as it is consolidating right now on smaller time frames, 1 hour, 4 hour, and it's still holding the trend very well. So it has not changed anything. So the structure is still unchanged and still has the potential to move up a little bit. Okay, let's talk about Uber. How many of you guys are using Uber? Larry, I'm going to start with you.
Okay, let me pull it up. I had actually the wrong chart there. Let me pull it up real quick. Uber. Well, I'm in Austin, and we don't have Uber. They said you can't come into our city, but we have Lyft, which is fantastic. But looking at it here, it's in a consolidation phase, and I think it's really a tight consolidation phase here. You can see that 46 down to 42. The momentum's still a little bit down, but I think this is showing potential signs for a move back up, which could be fairly explosive. You can see here on the weekly, it's trying to hold the support area. So it's kind of a new issue. So it's hard to get too many data points, but you can see it did pull back. It's moving back above the current moving averages. We've got what we call a squeeze. So directionally, I think that we could get a little bit more lift to the upside on Uber.
Very nice. Thank you, Larry.
Some lift to the upside on Uber. I see
there. Hey, Wiz, I was going to say that. You picked that one up, huh?
I found my mute button quicker than you.
Oh, God. Anyway, I love this company as far as using it. I went to Paris and I could go from a Montmartre down to the Arc de Triomphe and for $5 or something crazy. But then I went to Italy, and apparently influential people who own the taxi medallions over there are not so keen on this. So the rates for Uber were the same as getting a taxi. So as Larry was saying, there are some regions that are not hanging out with these guys. But the product itself is very good. What the financials behind it are, only God knows, because I'm not an expert on looking at their balance sheet. Some reports I heard is not the prettiest story. It's up at 44, and the volume today was 5 million shares. The average volume for 200 days is 20 million. If I was interested in this at all, what I might look is when the lockup period is going to end on Uber, and then I'd be watching the stock closely to get some idea that if it's running out of steam and the lockup period is going to be lifted, then there could be an avalanche of selling coming out. So the opportunity here could be to wait for that lockup period date, and then right before that, throw a couple of puts in there and then go to St. Luke's and get on your knees.
Thank you so much, Jim. Matt, what are your thoughts on Uber?
I think Jim put it right through the bullseye. Wait for the lockup period. If people don't understand that, what that is, that's all the early money that got in that is legally to get out at this point. So sometimes, you know, these people are running out of a burning building going, hey, that place is nice and warm. Everybody, you know, go ahead back in. Before we jumped on the air, did everybody see the news story that came out? Today, Uber announced a 44% increase in your fare, you can request less talking from the driver. This is not a joke. I'm not kidding you. And something else you can pay up for. So you're going to have, it's on your thing now. It's a premium service now to request in advance, or maybe it's like the less talking from the driver and like music or something like that. So I don't know if Uber can pull off what Jeff Bezos has done. So I get what Uber's doing. They're doing the whole, we don't want to make one penny. We want to take it and reinvest it in stuff. Reinvest it in what, dude? It's an app to find a car to find you. There ain't no, you're not building spaceships or, you know, widgets or stuff like that. So I don't know, man. This is one of those, you know, Uber, Lyft, you know, Amazon could sneeze and, you know, start doing this type of stuff. And I think the future actually is obviously going to be unmanned or undriven cars. And you're going to see a lot of pissed off drivers at Uber once they lose their job. So I'm with Jim. I'm going to sit on my hands, wait for the lockup, see if this thing stays up here at altitude. If it does, maybe some long calls, you know, all the way out into the future here. But other than that, man, this is a grab some popcorn. I had to go. I heard it and then I had to go look up. It is a true news story. So you have to pay up for the driver to talk to you less. So let me get this straight. If you don't pay for that, the dude's going to talk your ear off, or lady. I don't know, man. I'd sit on my hands and grab some popcorn and not do anything with Uber, to be honest with you.
Thank you so much for your thoughts, Matt. I mean, that's crazy, right?
It's insane.
I mean, like, this is the first time when I heard the news, so I didn't hear it before. It's just mind blowing. Okay, so what is he gonna do? He or she? Like, are they gonna talk like nonstop? Are they gonna ask you questions? What is that gonna be like, an interview? So, anyways, my thoughts on Uber, definitely technical. We have the bottom of the range into the $42. We pretty much are trading in the core of the range right now. We have the next resistance into the $45. We've triggered a small daily reversal here, and the price has just closed above the 10 exponential, the daily 10 exponential, and the 20 simple moving average, which means that, and this is a pretty solid bar. Even in the intraday, I was just seeing the intraday. And by the way, for those of you that don't know me and don't know my trading style, I love to trade ranges, love to trade ranges. And had I seen this range intraday, even though I don't day trade stocks, I day trade futures, I would have taken this. Like, literally, I would have taken this range over right here, over 4370 by 4350, and riding it all the way possibly and holding it overnight over $44.50. But I would watch it tomorrow. If you're into momentum trading, and I am into momentum trading, this is definitely something that you need to take into consideration, because this is a very solid and very bullish close. And if tomorrow we're going to be trading over today's high, I think there's a great incidence of a continuation higher into the 45.50 and going into going into the 44.50 and going into the 45 and even 45.50. So this is like a short, medium term for it. Matt, I see that you have the article here.
I got it. Uber to expand no talking rides and adds helicopter service, which, you know, we use all the time. So I can't wait to, after the webinar, go jump in my Hilo and fly around for a little bit. So yeah, they call it their comfort line. So I guess they can, you know, expand into, so they got Uber Pool, Uber X, Uber Black, and Uber XL, and your comfort line. So you will have to pay more to have the driver not talk to you. I thought this was The Onion, or it was a comedy article, but there you go. That's a little, I think this is, I can't wait for comics and people to jump on this. I just think that's hysterical. I think that's, and usually when you're investing in a company, you don't want to see headlines like this where you go, wait, is this satire? So
did they mention like how much the price would increase for the service? Any mention of that?
It doesn't say so in this article, but I heard on CBC or Fox Business as I jumped on, like a 40% increase in the fare. It was something ridiculous. That's why I had to make sure it was true, because I thought it was a joke.
Thank you so much, Matt. All right, guys, we'll jump into the next doc, which is Walmart. Larry, what are your thoughts on Walmart?
Well, it's another one that's had a fantastic run. And to me, it's, you know, I would not be buying it up here. It's too extended for the kind of, you know, chart pattern setups that I like. So, but it's had a beautiful run and it's definitely in an uptrend. So if it does pull back and finds a place to consolidate, such as I'd be looking for an area back down to here, say this 105, 106 level, but it's hit pretty much all of my kind of upside targets. You've had that prior high here, which got hit. You've got this fib level hit. The next major big targets would be up here to about 118. But before it gets there, you also have earnings coming up. I would not be buying it up here. I'd be waiting for this thing to take a rest, take a breather, pull back, consolidate back into this, you know, prior kind of high level here, 105. So for me, it's, you know, it's not a pattern that I'd like to jump on for a, you know, extended move up. Not to say that it can't, but this has been a very, very strong, very fantastic looking pattern. But I think it's a little bit too extended for my likes right there.
Thank you so much, Larry. Jim, what are your thoughts on Walmart?
Well, I think you can't bid mouth Santa Claus and this thing keeps going higher, but I'm going to badmouth him a little bit. With regards to this stock, the volume today, 4.6 million shares, 200-day average volume, 7.5 million. So, you know, made it a 52-week high on some pretty crappy volume. I don't know if that's important, but it doesn't sound good. The other thing is valuation, right? It's at almost a 40-to-1 PE ratio. They get a lot of their money out of grocery. Kroger is trading at a 9 PE ratio, and the stock's gone from 30 down to 20. Target has a 15 PE ratio and pays 3% dividend. So obviously, if I wanted to get into this space, Target looks like a more attractive valuation. Plus, getting 3% while you're watching the movie is not a terrible thing. And, you know, so I think the valuation is a little bit frothy, and that's the only thing you could really say about it. And if you wanted to get into this space, it does look like Target may have a better valuation and certainly a better dividend.
Thank you so much, Jim. Matt, what are your thoughts on Walmart?
I agree with both those guys. Spot on analysis, very frothy up here. I'm not a Walmart or a Target guy. Hopefully we're going to have enough time to get to it. I'm with the Death Star, man. I think it's Amazon. I mean, they announced, was it 2-3 weeks ago, they're going to be doing drone delivery in months, not years. So whenever it comes to, Walmart is its own Death Star. It ain't going out of business anytime soon. Neither is Target. You're going to, you know, kind of come to the big three. But if you're looking to get into what Walmart does, Amazon's doing it as well. And my money's on Amazon over Bentonville, Arkansas company.
I agree. and Matt, we're kind of like Costco guys.
Yes, exactly. The one in Boca Raton, man, it's God's waiting room, man. And you better bring a weapon.
I know. Okay. So Walmart, what are my thoughts? Well, if you are in this trade already, you know, just enjoy the benefits of being in this trade. I would trail it on a daily, on the daily chart. It is getting very extended. It has achieved one of the extension targets right here. And I was in Walmart. I trailed it a little bit tighter, so I'm out. I didn't want to step once I saw this divergence step in into the 111, I decided to close the trade. So I'm not in the trade right now. I think that it's really way too extended. It has a lot of air to the minor support and also to the 10 EMA and to the 109 and 108 area, but it can still have the potential for a next target into the 118. But I wouldn't take it here without a pullback, and a pullback at least into the 108. So the market definitely needs Walmart definitely needs a pullback here. If you want to leg in, it is way too extended to do anything with it at this point. All right, the next stock on our list is Wynn. So there's another casino here. Larry, what are your thoughts in Wynn? Very similar chart pattern with MGM.
Yeah, so just taking a look at here, you know, it's cleared all these long-term moving averages and momentum shifted back up. So I think there's more potential upside here. We're back to the 618 retracement. So we're starting to get over that. That's the weekly right here. And we're doing some consolidation here on the daily. So, you know, this has potential for a move further. further to the upside. You know, the next target would be obviously that prior high right there, but then potentially back up right into here. You can see about 138 right through here, this area. So I think there's some potential upside there on when. And then you look, just take a look at the longer term charts. We've got, you know, some moving average crosses. It's holding right here at the 618. So if it can just kind of hang here, I think it's got more potential to take the next leg up.
All right. Thank you so much. Jim, what are your thoughts on Wynn?
Well, my thoughts, I live here in Las Vegas, so I can vouch for the fact that the Wynn Hotel in town here is a very, very classy place. And the big story here that separates it from MGM is really, I went to Boston College and they opened up a casino in, I think, Everett. And I think it holds 2,000 people or something, I don't know, but there was 5,000 people waiting to get in. When I went to school there was a dog track named Wonderland and it was always packed. So I think New Englanders are conservative, but they like to roll dice after they have three Samuel Adams and let's go to the casino, right? So I think it's going to be a big asset to them. I think they're going to make a ton of money there. And of course, the China deal seems to be coming around pretty good. The risk of obviously, you know, intervention from China is always talked about. But you can see that Hong Kong's reaction to when China intervened on that didn't go over very well. So, you know, I don't know that, you know, harassing the casinos is going to work, but it could happen. Anyway, this is to be played from the long side. And your get out point should be this recent low that it had around 118. And basically, it'd be a hold for me. And let's see if these numbers start really turning up with this new casino they have in Boston.
Thank you so much, Jim. Matt, what are your thoughts?
First of all, I'm sorry he went to BC. That's a shame. anyway, I love going third because I get to say ditto. So we were in a live trade brief. I remember this day distinctly. When it had a massive run, we were kind of day trading it. And all of a sudden, you know, breaking news, Steve Wynn is, you know, the next Harvey Weinstein. Everybody remember this thing? Absolutely imploded. All these allegations and Steve Wynn's a molester. And you haven't heard boo about that. And I think it was the Massachusetts whatever casino. They were maybe going to lose their license or something. These legislatures with the Me Too movement. We ended up, this was one of our longs, our Jan 21 synthetic stock positions. And I, of course, I probably bailed right around there as this thing imploded. And it's had a nice rebound. You guys just hit the potential Macau risk. I think Mrs. Wynn kind of settled with the shares and all that stuff and the board of directors fight. So I think that cleared up a little bit. I'd sit on my hands, like I said, with MGM and these just till we get a little bit of Donald Trump, President G love. I like Wynn actually over MGM now, but I'm telling you, the risk is I haven't heard boo. There was a slew of Me Too movement against Steve Wynn. And I don't know if they went Goodfellas or whatever it is, casino on some of these folks, but I don't know what happened to those women. That is a potential risk out there. I, for the longest time, one of the reasons we ditched it as a long was I'm like, how do they keep the name Wynn in it if this guy is what he says he is? But I don't know. Have you guys heard anything about that? Lawsuit settled, investigations? It seemed like it was a massive news story and then it went away.
I'm here in town, so I'll tell you, it's been litigated, it's been settled, and it's bye-bye birdie. Keep going.
Oh, really? You know? Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Geez.
It was litigated with the Nevada Gaming Commission. It was litigated with the girl involved. And so basically, you know, that's not an issue right now. The big issue now is, are we going to get the Boston thing to really kick into earnings? And is China going to keep rolling dice over there in Macau?
Got it. There you go. So good job. Man on the spot. Took away one of the underlying threats that I saw. So just wait for a little China dust to settle a little bit more and game on, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much, Matt. And thank you, Jim, for bringing... because I literally didn't hear anything about Wynn for some time now, so I didn't know what their status is now. But anyways,
these people were all above age, so it was not a situation where there was any kind of age involved. It was just behavior.
Perfect, problem solved. All right, so we could go back to business as usual, and it means that it wouldn't affect the stock. So we could have pretty much a green light. I see a potential buy over 134.70. I see the risk as the gap down support into the 129.37, which is also price, and it's also the 10 exponential moving average, a little bit of minor support into that location as well. And I see the potential for a rally into the 140, 141, and then again back into the 143 to 144 level for when. So I would watch it on the daily breakout, breakout over the daily range, maybe a go even for myself. All right. The next
we're getting kind of close to the end here. Would you all like to do a trade idea of the week next?
Sure.
All right. So should we still continue with some stocks, or should we go ahead with some trade ideas?
Let's go to the trade ideas.
All righty. Let's go to the trade ideas. Larry, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. So here's one trade that we've got current setup on. And this is Twillo, T-W-L-O. And this is one that I like quite a bit. It's been just kind of a trending up, but it's got a lot of consolidation, a lot of what we call momentum squeezes potentially ready to trigger. And so I think there's some good, really good potential on this one for more upside on Twillo. So be looking for, I've got a lot of lines in here. We've got some call condors, some various different structures on this, but I like the looks of it just from a, from a technical chart pattern and momentum. So the things that we like to look at Power Cycle Trading. So I like this one, Twillo, and trying to get a clear chart. So I think that you can see here, we just cleared the 618. So we've got a nice support zone from 142 up to 145. And I'm looking for a push back up here to that prior high 150 and then up to 155. So that's one I like quite a bit, Twillo.
Thank you so much, Larry. Twillo, we're going to keep that on our watch list. Jim, how about you? Any trades on your radar?
Well, something that I would say has a pretty good potential here is a very decent size move on the S&P. Between now and the August expiration, because we'll get quite a bit of earnings out by then. We'll have the Fed meeting again, and we'll also have just a lot more information. And we are sitting, in my view, on a ledge, basically right around the 2950 to 3000 area. And we're also kind of sitting on the ledge in the VIX, which is very close to that 15 number. And I think if you went out 6 weeks, or not 6 weeks, but if you went out to the middle of August, the likelihood that we'll be exactly at the same price here is not extremely high. So based on that theory, what I would look at is I would look at some kind of a strangle situation, or I'd look at some kind of a debit call and debit put situation, and I would be betting on volatility one way or the other. So if we're going to go and get great news and great earnings and great GDP, and we're going to blow through 3,000 and go up towards 3,100, there should be some action on the calls that should be able to pay for both and then some. And then, of course, if we break 2,950 and the news turns sour, or let's just say sobering, then, of course, there could be a nice little down move, and the put spread should be able to not only make some good money, but also be able to pay for the other side as well. So you got to price these things out. You got to do your math. You got to see if, in fact, you think the volatility will occur. But if I was a guessing man, between now and August 15th, we won't be at this number. We'll be at one of the numbers either up or down, because one of the reasons we're getting low volume today and going into this thing is people are waiting. And once they stop waiting, the volume is going to come out. And if it comes out big on the sell side, the guys who are on the other side of the trade, they'll drop the bid, and you could lose 50 or 100 handles very quickly.
Easily.
Conversely, if they come out with numbers that are quite strong and this volume comes in on the buy side, everybody who's short is going to cover, and the guy who is going to be doing the selling, he'll raise his offer as well. So I think the setup for a very volatile move between now and the middle of August is in place.
Thank you so much. In sync exactly to how I'm thinking. Matt, what are your thoughts, and what is your favorite trade for the week?
I love coming on here so I can steal some good ideas from people smarter than me. That's the best part about this. So thanks for having me, David. So nice job, guys. We today in our live trade brief, guys, you got to be bearish on China here. We've been trading the FXI for, since the Great Wall was put up, and it's an absolute blast. It's not like a momentum thing or a technical type of trade. This is the iShares Large Cap China ETF, and it literally moves on tweets from Trump or tweets from the, you know, China foreign ministry or this breaking news or this. It's an absolute blast trading this. And we put a bearish or a bear call spread on today. We sold the out to a couple weeks because, like I said, the fact that Larry Kudlow came out today and said, maybe Mnuchin and that's their job, right? Mnuchin and Lighthizer to be in these negotiations. It sounds like the people, you know, are still trying to get back to agreeing, you know, what size table we're going to have our next meetings on. I have scoured everything, and I thought Kudlow would say it today. When is the next, quote, round of talks? Not even anywhere on the horizon. So we went out a couple weeks and sold the 42.5, 43 bear call spread at about 17 cents. I have at Topkin Options what we call SOP, standard operating procedures, where we don't like to risk more than 5% of the model portfolio on any one trade. And the max, so $5,000 for the $100,000 portfolios we do. So about $5,000 in risk for about $2,600 return. You could turn this into what we call a burner trade, meaning this, if you really, 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 and last week, I hate when guys do this at cocktail parties. I'll be one of them. But I did last week after that pop and Navarro in an interview said, dude, this thing's complicated. It's going to take a long time. You could hear the air go out of the balloon. And a couple of my coaching clients did bearish double verticals right here or a burner trade. So what you do is with this credit that you take in, maybe just buy some downside puts. So you're taking in a credit for the bear call spread up here and buying some downside puts. I just don't see a bottom. Yeah, and to be honest with you, you know, we red team our trades, meaning how's this thing going to go against us? You know, what missile is going to reach out and touch us? Well, maybe, you know, a good news tweet or something. It's not working. I mean, Trump, when he was at the G20, he's like, we got people talking. They've been talking. They're talking right now. Well, it ain't the dudes who are important that are talking. So even his tweets and comments and Navarro and Kudlow, it seems like the air is coming out of this. So I'd be bearish on FXI. I think that's a good short-term tactical trade.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Yeah, I looked at Bob. Matt, I looked at Alibaba. It looked like it had a rally to 180 area and kind of gave up, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it's going to be a long, hot summer with these trade negotiations. It's funny because Mnuchin a couple of weeks ago did his standard. We're 90% of the way there. That 10% that's remaining is ginormous. So I'd be bearish and on FXI. I agree.
It's kind of like when you buy a house, the funding is the last 10%, right?
Exactly. And you ain't buying the house without it.
All right. So I have a trade idea. Thank you so much, Matt. And in fact, I do have three trades that I'm just going to punch in the names right here. First trade is SMH. Semiconductors have been acting really strong today. They closed really, really into the green. Any pullback into the 110.25 or 110.30 may have the possibility for a continuation higher back into the 112, 114, and 115. The next trade that is on my radar is the NVIDIA, just three trades right here. NVIDIA, we're looking for a close over 159. And if tomorrow we should get a close, if we should get a trigger over 159, this is going to be a strong buy for me. And I'm going to be looking for targets into 165 and 170 moving forward. And we discussed about this Apple, right? We discussed, in fact, we opened the session today with Apple. Apple is a daily buy for me as long as it's going to hold this high right here tomorrow, 21.50. I'm going to be a buyer at this level and looking for a gap fill. All right. This is all. Thank you so much, guys, for your comments and for your contribution to today's list. And thank you so much, David, for putting this together and having all of us here. A lot of great ideas were shared today. Matt, I love your FXI. And Larry and Jim, I love your ideas as well. So really great environment to share ideas.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was great. I love doing these analyzed trades. It's fun.
Do you all want to do a quick closing statement about anything you want to?
Absolutely. I didn't know we have time and we're running a little late. Larry,
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me here. I always enjoy this. So come visit us at powercycletrading.com. You can always see what we have coming up, upcoming live events. We always have something going on, usually every Saturday. So I've got a free webinar if you'd like to join us, how to trade seasonality, cycles, and trends. So come sign up. You can sign up here and look forward to maybe seeing you this Saturday. So thanks again for having me.
Thank you so much, Larry. Jim? Tim, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, just I do have the weekly podcast video that we put out. So just go to Option, O-P-T-I-O-N, professor.com. You can get the link, and you or any of your friends can go and check it out. And also, if you have any question on anything that I talked about or on your mind, just shoot an email to optionprofessor@gmail.com, and I'll respond from there.
Thank you so much, Jim. Matt, where can traders reach you?
Perfect timing,
Ankit. Beside your yacht.
Yes, exactly. All you need to do is head to go.topkinoptions.com/FT. Next week, starting Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to do a kickoff brief. We actually open up next week. I'm going to open up my entire squadron, all of our live trade briefs for free, so everybody can come in and walk around and kick the tires. It's the best way to check everything out. We're going to be talking about the trade war with China. I'm talking about the Fed. We didn't talk about it today, but one of the big strategic issues that is a huge gorilla in the room right now is Iran. I got a lot of buddies. Matter of fact, one of my old squadron mates, Putnam Brown, is the captain of the Abraham Lincoln, which is in the Arabian Gulf in the Straits. So that's a potential black swan event. The president over the past couple of days has said, their uranium, really bad things will happen to them. Something's going to give with Iran, folks. And I don't know if we're going to see Donald Trump and this dude sitting across the table from each other shaking hands. So we're going to talk about how to potentially hedge against a black swan event over in the Middle East. Oh, God forbid, but you always want to be hedged. So check it out next week. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Matt. All right. So if you guys are interested in trading live, the futures market, day trading futures and swing trading stocks, you can join our trading room. You can also reach us at info@tradeallow.com if you have any questions about any of our services. We also have a transparent portfolio performance for the last 3 years since we have initiated the trading room. You can access all the trades right here, all the good, the bad, and the ugly. We also provide trading education. If you're interested in learning how to day trade or swing trade the futures market, just shoot us an email. Again, info@tradeoutloud.com. Or if you're interested in the swing trading class as well, just email us. And I'm looking forward to seeing many of you guys in Chicago. I'll be in Chicago at the Traders Expo, starting with July 20th to the 23rd. I do have 3 presentations there, and we have a booth there. So I'm very excited to meet new traders. Thanks so much, David, for putting this thing together. We went a little bit over. It's 5:05. Thanks so much for having me and for having us.
Thank you. That means at our next live event, you got to buy everybody 5 shots. How about that? Per minute.
Cool. Absolutely.
Done and done.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Lots of great info. So just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording for this or any of the past shows. And just want to thank my guests again for today, Larry Gaines of PowerCycleTrading.com, Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com, Matt Buckley of TopGunOptions.com, and Anka Metcalf of TradeOutLoud.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Anka.
Thank you.